Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 104 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
Folks,
hello.
We return with the topic show.
Yeah, we got a topic show. It was rather a difficult and spiky topic this week.
I don't like this topic.
Well, I thought they say talk about what you know, and my life's been dominated for the last 2 weeks by constant nicotine withdrawal cravings. I figured we'd talk about addiction. I'd bring you all with me on my little personal dark odyssey as we explore some of the rockier shoals and narrower waters of mental disorder. Well, that'll be good. That'll be fun.
Yes. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Well, it's something we see a lot of. Every now and then we get quite a sensationalist story. Some study's been produced, usually by some Christian Science group in the far reaches of America or whatever, stating that our kids are spending too much time playing computer games, and then the addiction word gets sprouted, and all sorts of shrieking and wringing of hands and general calumny. Is that a word? It sounds like a word. Anyway,
is now?
Calamity? Whatever. Addiction, yes. So I figured, I printed off lots of notes, actually. In fact, I basically printed much. I should point out at this stage that neither John nor myself have any kind of psychiatric training or certificates or even achievements in pop psychology.
So I've got a bit of paper saying I'm sane.
You got a bit of paper saying you're sane, that you had to go and get one. This is interesting enough. But yeah, so we're basically winging it as we go. We've got lots of notes from Wikipedia if you want to play along at home as well.
Because Wikipedia is so good for self-diagnosis.
I diagnose all my medical, physical and mental health problems on Wikipedia. It saves so much time and effort with the doctors, you know. So that's, yeah. So I think we should start with definitions. We need to first define what, if before, because video game addiction itself is a much debated thing. There's no real concrete stats. No one universally agrees that this is what it is or this is what it isn't. We see all sorts of dubious reports from very small sample sizes. A lot of pop psychology, yes, much like we're doing now. And so it can be quite confusing to try and work out what exactly it is. Is it even a real thing? Does it exist?
No, let's move on.
So I thought we'd start with a few definitions then. Okay, so my first port of call on Wikipedia was to discover that there are actually two distinct things here. We've got substance use disorder and behavioural addiction. Two quite different things. Substance use disorder is exactly
that'll
what
be
it
you.
Sounds like. Yes, that's the fags, that's the booze, that's the the heroin and the cocaine, if you want to go that far. We're basically talking narcotic abuse there, addicted substances, something that you take or ingest that alters your chemistry. It alters your brain chemistry, makes you feel different. Very direct chemical application. Now, clearly, computer game video addiction's not that. So we've already made some kind of headway. We've got looking at the alternative, behavioural addiction. Now we're onto something that sounds a bit more plausible, a bit more. This is certainly what fits the category, as it were. So other examples of behavioural addiction I've had a look through. Well, actually, let's talk about the substance abuse there, because I've got some personal experience here.
Okay.
The cigarettes, giving them up. Yes, I was smoking 20 a day until about 2 weeks ago. Still not quite fallen off the wagon, as it were. I'm managing to stay off them. It's good. I basically done it with willpower, because I have a lot of that. Mostly, actually, I've been using my apathy as a technique there. You know, I just can't be bothered to go to the shop and buy a packet every day. It gets quite tedious, so that helps. I found the page on nicotine withdrawal. See if any of this lot sounds familiar. Symptoms can include craving cigarettes, becoming irritable, intense headaches.
How do we tell?
Increased blood pressure. Persons who have smoked a higher number of cigarettes for a longer period of time more likely to suffer these symptoms, although almost all people who try to kick the habit suffer some form of withdrawal symptoms from the drug. This is because chemical dependency is involved. It's part of my brain chemistry is actually in need of more of these chemicals, which I'm now not letting them have. So it's been rocky, and I've been quite surly with a number of pickup groups and static groups throughout the last fortnight or so, and perhaps even with you, dear listener, and I do apologise. But it goes away. It goes away. We go back to normal. People aren't born needing nicotine. Well, unless their mother smokes a lot during pregnancy. Apparently,
Do you get born addicted to nicotine? Because I know you can get born with a heroin problem.
That kind of thing. I suppose I'm not sure. But so basically, physical dependency that you do have to sort of account for. It will cause problems. But can that be said of video game addiction in the same way? Because we don't necessarily have physical chemicals at play in the brain, apart from the ones that are created by the brain itself.
It's a good question.
Endorphins, etc.
Well, yes, and
you enjoy yourself while you're doing a thing.
And much like, I think the extreme one of that would be the adrenaline junkie, who can get actually addicted to the endorphin rush.
Again, that would be another behavioural addiction, in that there's no external chemicals being used in the process.
It's all self-generated.
It is, yeah. I've written booze here on my little notes. Do you want me to look at the alcohol dependence bit of paper here?
Okay.
I used to smoke a lot, and hopefully won't for quite some time. You're fond of the tipple now and then, aren't you?
I'm fond of the old tipple.
Okay, I've got printed off their page on alcohol dependence here. Okay. Interesting.
Is this an intervention or a test?
It's a test. Hang on, I'm going to ask you four questions.
Yep.
Answer honestly if you can.
Okay.
Do you ever feel like you should cut down on your drinking?
Yes.
Do you ever feel angry/annoyed when people try to talk to you about your drinking?
No.
Do you ever feel guilty as a consequence of drinking?
I never feel guilty about anything in my life.
Right.
I'm a sociopath.
Do you ever need an eye-opener, a drink of alcohol in the morning before you can function when you get up? Do you have to have a beer before you leave the house?
It's never even crossed my mind.
Right. Well, you're quite lucky then, because the CAGE questionnaire is a tool used to assess individuals for potential alcohol problems, including dependency. It's useful because it involves four simple questions, only two of which need to be answered positively.
The one I answered yes on wasn't about the alcohol, it was about weight. Because I know that I would lose weight if I stopped drinking, and that's why I think that.
It's interesting, actually, just sort of tangenting a bit. One of the main reasons I go out smoking is because it just costs so bloody much. You know, it's not so much the specific health problems of itself that were the problem for me. It's the sort of related deterrence, I suppose, which sounds broadly similar to what you're talking about.
Yeah, it would be...
Strange.
Wait, although it's possible that I did just forget why I should stop drinking.
Hmm. So just sort of thinking about those four questions then. If you replace the word drinking with gaming.
Okay. Yep.
Let's try this again. Do you ever feel like you should cut down on your gaming?
Maybe.
I do sometimes.
I do too, yeah. Yes.
Do you ever feel angry, annoyed when people try to talk to you about your gaming? Presumably.
I do a goddamn podcast.
Yeah. I talk to them. I won't shut up. I'll talk to anyone who listen, yeah. But, well, presumably the context there is talk to you about gaming too much.
No one does that to me.
No one does it? No, same here.
I'm in a position in life when I don't get that intervention.
Do you ever feel guilty as a consequence of gaming? I'm not quite sure if that even makes any sense.
Yes, I've got this nagging feeling that I should be married with kids.
Well, I do sometimes, yeah. I do wonder if I've spent too much time on the gaming. Do you ever need an eye-opener, a go on a game in the morning before you can function? That's not quite the same.
While I don't have a bottle of scotch by my bed, I do have a DS.
Yeah, I just don't have time in the morning because I've been up till 2 in the previous night of gaming. Yeah, exactly. So I think we're probably more at risk of a gaming-related dependence based on that kind of criteria. I don't even know if those questions are even at all appropriate or relevant to a behavioural addiction rather than a physical dependence.
I think they sound pretty solid.
As far
as those questions go.
Okay, so another interesting thing, I've written gambling here as well. We'll come to that in a minute because that's actually quite relevant and important to the overall topic. But I just realised I'd forgotten to actually define addiction. I've got the topic, because Wikipedia is God and knows everything and is always right. At the top of the behavioural addiction page there, it's got the paragraph, the term addiction is also sometimes applied to compulsions that are not substance-based, like gaming perhaps, such as problem gambling and computer addiction, whatever that means. In these kinds of common usages, the term addiction is used to describe a recurring compulsion by an individual to engage in some specific activity despite harmful consequences, as deemed by the user himself, to his individual health, mental state, or social life. In other words, you doing a thing too much, you know that it's doing damage to you in some fashion, harm, physical, social, whatever, lifestyle. And that's basically the main difference between an addiction and a compulsion, which is basically a similar kind of thing, but is defined as not harming anyone, yourself. It's just something you do lots of that doesn't really have any downsides.
But still, a compulsion is something harmful, which you are compelled to do.
Well, literally, yeah. The term itself means that you feel somewhat out of control. It's not entirely your own choice to do the thing over and over. So some interesting definitions there. All right, yeah. So find me a bit of paper about the gambling addiction then, because the problem with the behavioural addictions is that they're not widely diagnosed or recognised. I mean, all throughout these articles, there's references to something called the DSM, which I had to get John to look up for me because I've forgotten what the acronym is.
It's okay, I've forgotten since then.
Still got the webpage.
It is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. It is this massive, massive book in America where they record all of the things that are slightly wrong with you.
It's the American Psychiatric Association. Yeah. They basically large group of peer reviews that meet together every now and then. And
it's a really, really big
book. I think they're on their fourth edition now. And the current fourth edition doesn't contain pretty much anything about behavioural addictions. It's almost entirely devoted to, well, the aspects that talk about addiction are devoted entirely to substance abuse.
Mental disorders, though, it covers everything from transvestitism onwards.
Yeah.
And that transvestitism is covered by it.
They actually define that as a mental disorder?
They do, yes. Hmm? That nice Mr. Izzard mentioned it on one of his TV shows.
Yeah. So we're talking very much the fringes of what the psychiatric profession agrees to be a mental disorder. They're working on DSM-5 at the moment, and the next revision due to come out in, I think, 2013?
12 or 13, I
something
believe.
Like that. And that one will actually list gambling as an addiction, which is where this next step comes in, because the gambling... Problem gambling is perhaps the closest recognised, well, it will be in this DSM-5, closest recognised psychiatric disorder to a potential video gaming addiction disorder.
I would agree with that. It's about the
closest we've got to work from. And again, you know, we're not experts, we're not psychiatrists, and this may be an entirely inappropriate comparison, but it feels right. It feels like it seems to have some bearing on what we might also want to look out for in problem game addiction. Now, the problem gambling thing has a fantastic list of definition of symptoms here. I'll run through them. There's a list because I like lists. Okay, so number one is preoccupation. The subject has frequent thoughts about gambling experiences, whether past, future, or fantasy. Okay, to be diagnosed as problem gambling, you need at least 5 of these.
Okay.
Okay, not just any one. Tolerance. As with drug tolerance, the subject requires larger or more frequent wages to experience the same rush. You need more and more each time to get your hit.
Right.
Number two is withdrawal. Restlessness or irritability associated with attempts to cease or reduce gambling. So, you know, if you try and stop, you then sort of start fidgeting, you get annoyed, you miss it. Escape. The subject gambles to improve mood or escape problems. Now, I'm wondering if that one rings true a little bit. That one sort of strikes home, I think. Lying. The subject tries to hide the extent of his or her gambling by lying to family, friends, or therapists. How long did you spend on the computer last night, young Timmy? Oh, only half an hour.
I, on the other hand, at my Xbox Live, Raptor, Steam, report how much time I spent playing games.
It's very difficult. If you go about it in the social networked way, in the social network age, it's very difficult to hide this kind of thing. Loss of control is number 7. The person has unsuccessfully attempted to reduce gambling. So this is basically where you've started to become aware that it's a problem and then suddenly find that you can't stop. You can't pull back under your own volition, perhaps. Illegal acts. I'm not sure this one applies, perhaps, but maybe. The person has broken the law in order to obtain gambling money or recover gambling losses. This may include acts of theft, embezzlement, fraud, or forgery. I'm not sure that one's particularly relevant.
Well, shoplifting.
Stealing games because you've run out of money to buy more games. Yeah. I don't know. Perhaps. I mean, I think that one's very gambling specific because gambling is about large sums of money moving about.
And yeah.
Whereas gaming, you know, computer games, not necessarily so. But
now that one's about doing it beyond your means.
Yes, it's an overextension, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is. Oh God, my hobby has gotten well beyond my own ability to support it. And yeah, that will make you turn to illegal acts in the case of gambling, but perhaps I don't know. It's going to be less of a problem with video games, I suppose. Risked significant relationship. The person gambles despite risking or losing a relationship, job, or other significant opportunity. Now, I think that one definitely is.
I think that one definitely.
I think so. People perhaps spending too much time with the computer game, not enough time with the significant other. Perhaps they haven't put the work in for revision coming up to exam time because they've spent too much time playing games during the year, or that sort of thing. And I'm pretty sure we've all been there in some minor extent.
I don't know.
I know I have, anyway. Bailout. The person turns to family, friends, or another third party for financial assistance as a result of gambling. Again, I don't think that one's particularly...
No, but I think in our case, it would be trying to recruit friends into games, specifically so they could help you raid.
I suppose.
And a lot of people now are going,
Well, perhaps not turning to friends, family. Another third party, though. Guilds. Continually working your way up to more and more... together and up their guilds to get access to the higher content.
Possibly that's functional.
Perhaps, yeah. So as with many disorders, the DSM-IV definition of pathological gambling is widely accepted and uses a basis for research and clinical practice internationally. So that's actually going to be included in the DSM-5. So clearly the American Psychiatric Association recognised problem gambling as a serious mental disorder.
Yes.
Worthy, you know, and to the point where they need to lay down definitions of symptoms and treatment and prognosis and all of that. Whereas computer games, we don't know. It's still a very grey area. Which brings us to the actual bit of paper with video game addiction written on the top. So, yeah, and this was actually quite markedly sketchy compared to the other Wikipedia pages on these various subtopics as I was doing my research. This one's much more about anecdote. It's, you know, interesting things that happened in the past. It cites very sketchy and small-scale studies of some dubious repute. I'm not going to run through them all because there's quite a lot there, but pretty much every sort of stated study on this list. I'll read one out, actually. This is a very typical example of what's appeared here. In a 2005 Tom's Games interview, Dr. Marissa Orzak estimated that 40% of the players of World of Warcraft, brackets and MMORPG, were addicted, but she did not indicate a source for the estimate. She may have derived the estimate from an informal survey managed by Nick Yee at the Daedalus Project, which we've talked about before
on the previous
show, who notes that caution should be exercised when interpreting these data. I mean, pretty much, I mean, there's about 10, 15 of these different studies data, and immediately afterwards they're called into question with another citation. So it just creates a sort of impression of absolute confusion, and I don't imagine we're going to help with that much here now, but it just really does make things quite difficult in terms of diagnosis, in terms of are we actually dealing with a real problem here or a bogeyman being touted by parents who just want people to get on, you know, kids to get on with their homework. You know, I mean, it's... And with addiction comes all sorts of ancillary support services, these video game addiction clinics. Are they selling snake oil? Are they trying to drum up fear and suspicion and distrust just so they can create themselves a little industry? Or is there something real going on here? It's just very difficult to... I mean, yeah, and this is possibly one of the reasons why the video game addiction is not on the DSM thing yet.
Yeah.
Because we need more... Sounds like they need more concrete and more rigorous research into what's going on.
Or they know it's not.
Or perhaps, yeah. I mean, they talk about impulse control disorders in some of the other areas of this psychiatric thing, in that that's a distinct thing from an addiction. You're not addicted to games, you have poor impulse control. And I'm not quite sure what the difference there is, particularly if you're fixating on one specific thing with your impulse control disorder. Don't know. I'm going to just... Yeah, here we go. There's a section on here called Possible Symptoms. I'm going to read this one out, actually, because it's quite interesting. Excessive use of video games may have some or all of the symptoms of drug addiction or other proposed psychological addictions. Some players become more concerned with their interactions in the game than in their broader lives. Players may play many hours per day, gain or lose significant weight due to playing, disrupt sleep patterns to play at work, avoid phone calls from friends and or lie about playtime. Relationships with family and friends and performance at work or school may suffer. I don't think anyone listening would dispute that some or all of those things can happen if you play too much video games.
I don't know. How do you lose weight playing games?
Well, forget to go and eat. Have you ever forgotten to go and eat?
Yeah. But I haven't lost any weight from it.
Well, I think the lack of exercise cancels it out generally. And then there's a fascinating notable deaths section on here. I'm not going to read all of that out either. But
fascinatingly
I'm sure,
morbid.
Very morbid, yeah. I mean, there's examples of people who've just basically died of exhaustion or neglected children to the point where they've died.
The thing they got...
And the video game has been at the core of... The thing, and these are the things we see. These are what come up every year. Have a look.
There was one in particular. Keep talking.
Yeah, these come up again and again in sensationalist news stories, and then that's sort of where we come in. That's where we start to see it on our news shows. And you can't help wonder. You sort of, how does for example, some Korean chap play StarCraft for sort of 78 hours solid and keel over and die on the spot? I think that is in one of the examples there.
Yeah.
Are these extreme cases and the extreme end of a spectrum of which perhaps at the slightly more socially acceptable end some of us listening here and perhaps you or I feature.
It's possible.
So I've reached the end of my notes, but what do you think? Are we looking at a real problem here for a start? Is this not just a bogeyman?
There is a problem, but it's not an addiction. It's a behavioural balance issue.
I think some people can become literally addicted to computer gaming. I don't think the incidence of it is nearly as high as the sensationalism would make us believe, particularly the deaths. I mean, we got an article here on computer game addiction. It's going back and covering perhaps up to 2005, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think there's about 10 examples there. And obviously, you're not going to list everyone who's ever died as a result of a computer game. But
no.
But the point being is that compared to the number of people who actually play computer games on a regular basis, these examples are the very far end.
You'll also find that there'll be a similar amount of things, possibly way more, but a similar amount percentage-wise for people who just watch TV. You hear of people who murder their spouse because they won't let them watch TV or want to change the channel or stand in the way.
I think human beings are obsessive creatures. We can be. In particular cases, this goes very far.
There are always going to be people who are a little bit unstable, and they're going to be unstable about something. So whether or not it's watching TV or collecting matchboxes or whatever, they can snap and kill
people.
Let's
try a few searching questions here then. I'll answer them as well. Okay, do you feel that your life could be more successful, you could be in a better position, happier, wealthier, more prestige, if you hadn't spent so much of the past playing computer games?
I know. To such an extent. Well, I could be wealthier. I could have a family, but I don't regret those things.
Okay.
I know that if I put loads and loads of effort into it, I could make loads of money.
I do think I could be more of an achiever. Have played the game of life a bit better.
I could be a city banker making billions and losing billions per day if I really applied myself.
Probably have a massive cocaine addiction instead, but
yeah,
you know.
But yeah, the fact that I'm not, does that mean that I'm a massive failure? In which case, does everyone listening, are they a massive failure?
Oh yeah, do ask yourselves these questions at home, dear listener.
Is everyone listening a massive failure because they haven't become everything they could have been?
Wow. Yeah, you see where I'm going with this, don't you? Yeah, because I think this is probably one of the most recent ones of these shrieking studies by the normals that games were destroying their children's lives. It's the old, you could have been curing cancer gambit. You know, these kids are playing computer games all the time when they're not out curing cancer. You know, literally, they'll state curing cancer as the particular thing. But the idea basically is that the computer game is to blame for the wasted potential.
Yeah.
As if those hours could have been spent doing something truly magnificent instead. And is that valid even? Is that even a solid argument? Or is that a flawed assumption?
It's a valid thing that, yeah, everyone could be trying to cure cancer. Mm. And anyone not spent trying to attain the pinnacle of human achievement by helping as many people as possible is a failure by that measure.
Yeah.
If you give money to charity, you're not giving enough.
Yeah.
Or why aren't you overseas helping these people?
You there, curing cancer. Why aren't you creating free infinite energy from sunlight?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you can never do enough to be able to be doing everything you could be doing.
I don't hold with the idea that what you could have been doing instead. You know, the idea of lost potential. I mean, also another one is the think of the friends you could have made. I mean, you're starting to talk in like quantum probabilities and parallel universes.
It's
all rubbish.
You're actually talking about a complete loss of free will at that point.
Well, exactly.
You're talking about a police state which says you have to go out and you have to do. It's like the experiment where you say yes to everything. and you agree to do everything that somebody suggests.
Is that a film, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jim Carrey. It was a book to start with. It's just, you know, I will not let any opportunity go by.
Relentless optimism.
Which is going to be just as damaging as not taking.
Yeah, because you'll say yes to the wrong thing and next thing
and you know. You'll overextend yourself, you'll do the wrong things, you'll learn
crash and burn.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
But yeah, the question is, why isn't everyone trying to cure cancer?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's try a few other questions. Have you ever overslept for work or school and or college listening at home because you play computer games too late of a night?
Yeah.
I have as well, yeah. I have to get a much more powerful alarm clock with an untamperable button as well sometimes. I do play quite late. My body clock's basically become attuned to going to bed at 2 in the morning on a weekday, on a work day, mostly because of the gaming, yeah. Yes.
So I was trying to, go next question.
I can't think of one, actually. It's gone now. I did have one. About you?
I don't have any questions.
We're trying to sort of... it's the harm aspect. Do you think that your gaming causes you harm?
No.
Whatever you take harm to mean, harm can not... It's not necessarily physical harm, although perhaps we ought to all be doing more exercise.
Yeah, this is the more exercise thing, but that's not...
Actually, I've had physical harm before. I've sat there and played games in one position for so long that I had a terrible pain in all the muscles down my left side on the leg after I'd sat on a nerve for three hours once.
Deep vein thrombosis.
It could be, well, possibly, yeah, I don't know. It was a little alarming. It didn't go away immediately.
Did your leg fall off?
No, it all got better in the end, but I do try and get up and walk about a bit now and then, which as a result, and that's probably a good thing for anyone gaming for significant periods of time. Have you continued to play a computer game even though it wasn't fun?
Yes.
So am I. Why do you think that might have been? What reasons do we find that we play more than we should? Is this game specific, or is this I must be playing a computer game?
This is genre specific.
Oh, here we go. Yes, you see where I'm going.
Yeah.
So let's talk MMOs then. These are particularly games.
You're assuming it's MMOs.
I'm assuming MMOs. Is it?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm specifically thinking of the thing that set me off last show, which was Forestshell.
Yeah, yeah, because you've had a certain amount of dissatisfaction with the genre.
Which, bouncing backwards and forwards between two NPCs, and I was just doing it to get through it. I was not having fun.
But you were still playing it. Was that a compulsion?
I don't know.
Perhaps it was a compulsion. Was it an addiction? Was there a harm going on there in some fashion?
The question... There's no harm going on, no. The only harm was there was a couple of hours that I could have been playing something else.
Yeah, I suppose.
Or watching TV or whatever.
Perhaps the harm was simple misery. You weren't enjoying yourself.
But
that's harm, isn't it?
Yeah.
You were doing an activity that was causing you emotional imbalance, or whatever you want to call misery.
Yeah, but there, on the other hand, I was happy because I was ranting on Twitter.
I must admit, I do sometimes play this stuff, even though I'm not enjoying myself, because I know it will give me something to be angry about, which I do enjoy being angry sometimes. See,
that's probably unhealthy.
That's got to be some entirely different psychosis for another show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
you've played more game than you've enjoyed and kept going. For what reason?
Because I needed to get through it to get to the next bit.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes do find myself playing MMOs of an evening, not really that into them, but I don't know, some sort of vague feeling that I ought to be getting my hours in. I ought to be making some progress.
Yeah.
Even though the objective itself is just stupid, it's a number, whatever. So I still find myself, well, I could be playing just an offline game and puttering about, doing some, you know, just jumping around in Crackdown or something. Oh, no, I probably ought to be getting on with something productive in Lord of the Rings, you know?
Yeah.
Doing a bit of earning some skirmish marks, working on my legendary item XP.
Get a bit of cash.
Whatever. And I sort of tend to... When I don't have a particular drive to play a specific game, I will start to look at them as obligations and work out which one needs the most effort or needs the most work putting into it. And is that a sign of some kind of compulsion or addiction? I wonder indeed. I think possibly.
Quite possibly, yeah.
I think sometimes we do get driven. I think Piers, have you ever played a game, an MMO perhaps then, let's call it that, only because your friends are? Because your social group sort of expects, or you feel that your social group expects you to be there, though you perhaps didn't really want to play that game.
Not
that
people
night.
I would consider friends, but when I was mayor of the town in
Oxies, yeah, let's talk about that.
There was the whole feeling obliged to log in and deal with stuff.
Duty.
Yeah, because just abandoning them would have been a problematic for everyone. Mm. And in fact, that's what I did and the town fell apart.
Yeah, so let's talk about the social aspect. I should probably answer that myself as well. I do sometimes feel a bit tired about some of the static. I'm very careful with my words because I know most of the people I play with are listening. But sometimes I do feel like I could have done with a night off, but felt like I wanted to hang out with my friends, you know, rather than the game. But they were all in the game, so the game is where we go. You know, the game is what you do. It can be difficult. And I think perhaps the social aspect of these, particularly the MMOs and particularly guild-based stuff, end-game raiding, all this sort of thing, there is a social network that reinforces itself.
Oh, especially with raid scheduling and stuff. You're drawn in and sort of required to put the effort in to do
it. And it's great to be needed, but ultimately, is that need a serious thing? Does it matter if you miss your main tank for that night? You know, I mean, it becomes an obligation and people start to resent you if you decide you don't want to play it anymore.
Yeah.
And then you just have to worry about that kind of thing. These sorts of social ties, I suppose, and interactions that can make it quite difficult to not play a game if you don't want to. I don't know if that's precisely the same as a compulsion to play, but you're feeling obliged to be there can sometimes be a little unhealthy, I think.
I think so, yeah. But then again, there's also the counter of that, which is if, say, you never socialise and your inclination is to not do it, the pressure to do it can actually be healthy.
Well, sort of take you out of your comfort zone a bit, encourage you to talk to new people, try new things, which is eminently easier in a massively multiplayer online anonymous framework than just going into a bar in a high street.
Definitely.
It's definitely a much more comfortable environment. For starters, everyone around you is predisposed to like the same things you like because you're all gamers and you've all got a common point of reference, which is the game, which is always good. You know, it's a good start. It's a bit like walking into a pub and going, "So, you like beer then, I see." You know, you've got something more there.
I wonder if that'll work.
Well, it's the only thing you have in common with a random stranger in a pub, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're both there because you like beer.
Not necessarily.
Well, I'm often in pubs and I don't like beer, so there you go. J2O man myself.
Freak.
I know. Well, digressing anyway.
It's a girly drink.
Well, often the designated driver. Okay, so I suppose we're pretty much agreed that video game addiction is a real thing and can come in many shades and grades. Not all of them problematic.
No, but there's also the question of...
It is an insidious thing, I think.
Do some games encourage it?
Okay, so looking at it from game development, you're proposing that some... let's not mention any names or use examples here, because I'm sure it'd be libelous, but is it libel or slander for talking? Libel's written, isn't it? I can't remember. Anyway, the point being is that you think perhaps some game development teams and studios and publishers deliberately try and invoke some of this kind of thing.
I think that certain areas of gaming...
monthly subscription ones, for example.
Monthly subscription, or even free-to-play, stuff which requires people to be playing
for participation.
Prolonged periods of time.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm thinking about Facebook games as well.
Are we talking DLC for single-player games here?
Not sure about DLC, to be honest.
Okay.
But massive level grinds in anything, including multiplayer console games, say.
I called it EverCrack.
Yeah.
EverQuest, back in the day. Everyone called it EverCrack. It was particularly buff in there called Clarity. I believe it was a long duration, about an hour or so, a duration on the mana recharge. It increased your mana recharge rate. And, of course, your mana recharge rate was the bottleneck for progress and getting anything done and doing stuff in that game. And, of course, enchanters would sell this buff for ridiculous amounts. I mean, who even sells buffs anymore in any MMO?
I randomly give them out when people run past me.
Yeah, drive-by music lessons. And people didn't call it Clarity, they called it Crack. Basically, the whole point being is that it was so necessary and addicting and, oh, God, I can play this game so much faster with this buff. It actually almost developed a sort of cult addictive state in itself. It was bizarre. And yes, very early EverQuest, I'm not blaming so much nowadays because they have cranked the lever back quite easy towards fast game.
You did give many, many tales ironing between fights.
I was a level 29 druid working in the Lake of Illomen, and it was work. And often I would spend like 15 minutes between pulls on even con stuff and stuff that was a few levels below me. It'd take me about 15 minutes to recharge the mana back again to be able to do the next hit. And druids were considered soloable. So, you know, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. It's hard to say because there wasn't a lot of choice back then. You had Ultima Online, which was just a complete free form, do what you like sort of thing. But even then, you had to grind out how many chairs to become an expert woodworker type. I remember wandering the wilds and seeing just huge piles of furniture lying around the place.
It was an awful lot. Yeah, there'd just be trails of them everywhere.
But these are games, well, obviously, initially, monthly fee. Why wouldn't you want people to be there for more months? Because every month they're there, that's another $9.
And also, you need a certain...
So if they can complete it in 2 weeks, you're not going to get another $9.
You need a certain number of numbers in the game on each server so that people think that it's busy.
So, I mean, that's a very obvious cause and effect. If the game takes longer to finish, they will stay longer, they will pay us more money. Now, that's going to occur to everyone who's remotely involved in the
industry.
And
that's done through gates to content.
Yeah.
You have to work to be able to get at more content to do stuff, so you can't physically finish it in an evening. Because take the average console game, which you can complete, say, 12 hours.
Yeah.
And some of them, after 12 hours, Dead Space, say... because that was actually badly affected sales-wise because of it. After 12 hours of play or whatever, and you complete the game, people were selling it because there was nothing else to do in it. Because they had completed it and moved on.
And it's not really a keeper, so they go straight to the second-hand sales shop with it.
But if you look at something which tries to keep you from selling your game...
DLC unlocks,
DLC,
day one DLC.
Strong multiplayer.
Yeah. Positive reasons.
Yeah, things like that. Or a long XP grind in the game.
Just a nice long story that doesn't burn out very quickly. Yeah.
Or lots and lots of collection quests, maybe, in it. I'm thinking Assassin's Creed 1 here.
All the flags. There's hundreds of them, yeah.
And you get the right kind of person in front of those.
Yeah.
And they will all get collected. Yeah. They were all collected.
Yeah.
I got them all.
I have this friend. Yes. So I'm wondering, is there a certain sinister element to early MMO game design? Were some studios designing these things specifically to try and play on addictive personalities?
I'm not sure that matters. I think that even now...
You think it still happens if you
And it's maybe not...
We like to think they're on our side. Well, no, we like to think they're on our side.
It may not be a conscious thing from them, but the entire...
Well, the entire model.
The entire model for just about every game is, can we get the people to play it for as long as possible... For every MMO.
And I think that probably does confuse things because it masks genuine addiction problems in that we're all playing every month and trying to work up this massive long thing, mostly because that's the task that's been set, and if we want to play that game, that's what we'll do. But
if somebody's playing, say, Call of Duty, 4 hours a night or week, then people are much more likely to say, oh yeah, they have a problem, than if you're playing WoW for 4 hours a night.
Yeah, hang on, there's a relevant quote in here. I'll just come back to this on my Wikipedia page here. See, Wikipedia doing the hard work, so I don't have to. Here we go. A report by the Council on Science and Public Health to the AMA... I'm not quite sure what any of
American
these people are.
Medical Association.
Cited a 2005 Entertainment Software Association survey... There's little citations all over the place of computer gaming players, and noted that players of MMORPGs were more likely to play for more than 2 hours per day than other gamers. In its report, the council used this 2 hours per day limit to define gaming overuse, citing the American Academy of Pediatrics guideline of no more than 1 to 2 hours per day of screen time. However, the ESA document cited in the council report does not contain the 2 hour per day data. So again, a retraction and rebuttal straight away, confusing it all. But the basics there suggesting that by definition, anyone playing an MMO is indulging in gaming overuse.
And
because we'll play 2 hours more than someone who isn't playing an MMO.
That's because the games are designed from a point of view where you will do this. You will do repetitive content.
Can you get done in half an hour in any MMO these days?
They're very slow games to play. Yeah. And there's no real two ways about it, I think. They are designed to make you play longer.
Yeah, and I think that's potentially as a problem.
And when they aren't, and when they let you complete them, they get slated for not having any content.
Yeah, they let us out early without any kind of lasting psychological damage and harm after only a month, and everyone hits the forums and goes, oh, there's no content at level 50. This game's rubbish. Perhaps we're partly to blame as well.
Oh,
perhaps
we are.
We don't let go.
The entire genre for MMOs is around the idea that we want to play them forever. And whether or not that's healthy.
Yeah, they'll keep taking our money as long as we want to keep giving it to them. And that's not unreasonable, is it? That's free market. That's how economies work. But yeah, I'm trying to find a reference in here. I can't see one. But I remember some time ago, was it China were introducing maximum amount of play times?
And Korea's sort got of one as well, I think.
A kind of rested XP. You could only play in MMOs. You have to log in with your social security number or something, presumably, and then it will track you. And if you play more than like 3 hours of a game a day, it starts to crank down on your XP gain and reduce your stats and things.
Yeah, or kick
it was
you
quite
off.
Some time ago, and I can't find the, citation.
We had a couple of stories along those lines over the years.
So this is interesting in that we're starting to see governments and governmental advisors, government health departments and ministries starting to become concerned perhaps about this sort of thing as well.
Yeah.
Perhaps not so much in the West where the web cafe culture is not so prevalent, but clearly this is something governments are starting to take seriously and will continue to do so. I mean, ultimately, if your nation's GDP is starting to suffer as a result of a particular MMORPG, you need to step in because it becomes a matter of economic security
the question
for your nation.
Is will a nation's
is
GDP
that ever
going to suffer?
The ultimate extreme, obviously.
It's like the episode of Next Generation, the game, where Riker brings back this game from Ricer.
That was quite, that's actually quoted in here. Hang on.
I'm not surprised. And they all get, everyone on the ship gets addicted to it, apart from good old Wesley.
Oh, yeah.
Who gets the girl and saves everyone.
Crusher! Yeah. Yeah, in popular culture... Yeah, in the Star Trek Next Generation episode, The Game, William Riker brings a video game from Riser. It stimulates specific parts of the brain and almost all of the Enterprise's crew become addicted to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Big Bang Theory episode there.
That would be the Conan one.
The Barbarian Sublimation. Penny becomes addicted to Age of Conan.
Yep.
There's plenty of South Park and Simpsons episode references there. I think there was a whole one about Marge being in World of Warcraft or something.
It was EverQuest.
So, I mean, people are making jokes about this kind of thing in the media. We've got governments starting to step in and try and, curb the sort of thing. Perhaps video game addiction is a very real thing.
Well,
something that we need to... I'm not going to start accusing anyone here. I don't want people listening at home to panic or worry, but perhaps just be aware. Keep an eye out.
You've all got a problem.
Have a good sort of...
This is an intervention for all our listeners.
All right, that is an intervention. Just sit back.
Go outside. Smell the roses. Look up to the sky.
Take up a sport.
Read a book. Get out.
Join
more.
A club.
Watch TV.
God, take up an evening class.
Evening classes, yes, that's the solution to everything, isn't
it? It is, absolutely. Yeah. All aspects of societal ill.
Have you considered basket weaving?
Join photography club of some sort, No, but in all seriousness, if it's not necessarily a condemnation. You just need perhaps to step back, have a think.
The problem
am
is,
I enjoying this? Is this perhaps getting a bit too much?
Well,
are aspects of my life not as I'd like them?
I've seen an awful lot of unrest recently about MMOs, and it's people, I think, realising that maybe they're not enjoying themselves as much as they could, possibly because of the behaviour, time-sinking, inducing games that they
I
are.
I wonder why it's all gone so unresty of late, amongst our peers, isn't there?
There's definitely a lot of angst.
When this sort of thing hasn't changed significantly since the EverQuest days. In fact, it's become much easier and faster these days to get stuff done in these games, and yet we're still sort of starting to reject the basic model that you need to keep banging away at it for hours and hours and hours to get anywhere.
When people come up for air and play other types of games more, it really does shove
start
into stark relief exactly how grindy these games can be.
I think
that's
been part of me, what I've experienced. Yeah, I'm playing a lot more console stuff lately and seeing how else it could be, I suppose, and perhaps not liking MMOs as much as I used to as a result.
That's the major problem I have with MMOs. That's the entire thing why I'm burnt out on them.
There are more fun things to be doing.
from the number of hours spent playing a game, I can get, and I got way more from Red Dead Redemption, say, at the weekend, than I got in LOTRO in the last couple of months. Mm. Gameplay wise, that's not counting the chatting with friends while in there.
Yeah, I mean, I start to see a lot of it in games I'm playing recently on the 360. Compared, I mean, Fable 2 in particular. I don't know if it holds up as a very accurate and valid comparison to most normal MMO gameplay, but just seeing different ways that it can go, it can be done. You know, doesn't have to be a great big drudging chore.
Well, that's one of the things I'm actually, one of the only things I'm sort of looking forward to with The Old Republic.
Yeah.
The idea that it's a very definitive story, and when you get to the end of it, the story is done.
And you can walk away if you so choose.
Yeah, and you should play another character and go through and play their different story.
Yeah, I mean, we see a lot of people, I mean, this big Guild Wars 2 manifesto, lots of talk about The Old Republic that's been ongoing for quite some time. APB's coming soon. I mean, you know, it's like the industry seems aware of it and wants to try and do something more different and interesting and shake things up and go about the basics in an almost, yeah, in new ways and experimentation.
The problem is,
but, you know, Tabula Rasa.
I'm going to put my cards on the table and say that The Old Republic is going to get slated for not having enough content.
I think it's going to get absolutely...
People are going to hate it because it's not going to have any endgame worth mentioning.
It's going to get absolutely destroyed by pretty much everyone because it's just got such an immense hype built up around it now. It's going to be absolutely amazing. No, it's going to be an interesting refinement and evolution, not revolution, of the genre. You know, I mean, the story thing will be interesting, but it's likely to be instanced. It'll be instanced story with perhaps not so very different to what they've lately been trying to do in Lord of the Rings, I think, but perhaps with a bit more elaboration. Who knows?
But
I'm not really following.
People are not going to be happy with it, no matter what.
No, I think people generally aren't happy anyway with lack of content, which it does take a long time to make.
Yeah.
You know, you have to come back to these things later on.
And when the content does get added, like with the whole Forageel thing, it tends to be quests and missions to do that are designed to take time.
Time sinks.
The whole Forageel thing is basically designed to say, right, this will take you X number of hours to do.
And it was a moderately interesting story, but yes.
Yeah, there was...
overstay its welcome
somewhat. A good instance, a nice ship to go find that sunk. Mm. So there was a nice shipwreck. But beyond that, there was an awful lot of bouncing back and forth between two NPCs.
Yeah, yeah. What else could you have been doing in that time that would have been fun or productive?
Yeah. I was playing on the console while I was on the horse. Which is not a good sign for your game.
No, I mean, any time where you're playing another game to take your mind off how boring the game you're playing currently is.
Or because you don't have anything to do in that game because you're on a horse route.
I mean people who watch YouTube while they're mining in Eve. I mean, I've sat there and watched entire DVDs whilst hauling stuff from one end of the galaxy. And, you know, if you're playing enough... Gems in EverQuest 1. It brought up a Tetris game that you could play while you were waiting to be able to fight again. And that just,
At that point, that is an admission that your design is broken.
Well, and the fact that you're there still anyway is perhaps a sign that there's perhaps some kind of addictive problems there as well.
Yeah.
Either by design or from your own end as a player. So, don't have nightmares.
Don't have nightmares. And so what have we concluded?
I think addiction is real. I think extreme cases of addiction make for fantastic sensational news headlines. I think many people who don't understand video games at all become very easily scared and panicked by sensationalist headlines and tend to shriek and wring their hands over only the very worst of the cases. I think that we all have our own responsibility to just keep an eye out. Just, you know, bear in mind. Just keep, you know, if you look up and you look at the clock and you think, oh my God, it's 3 a.m, you know, then I think perhaps you need to take a little bit of a step back.
No, I think you only need to consider, if you look at it, it's 3 a.m, and oh, I need to be doing something next day.
Oh, well, yeah, obviously, if you don't have to get up that next morning, that's fine.
I was playing Red Dead Redemption until 6 a.m. on Saturday night.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to do anything until, three or four when you showed up.
Was there any specific harm caused by that incident?
No.
There you go.
In fact, I got to see the sunrise, which was actually a benefit. Because I do like watching the sunrise.
I think we need to be aware of the difference between an addiction and a compulsion.
Yeah.
Compulsion has no victims, no harm.
And I think that with games, it's different from most of the others, like gambling, because the downsides are so much less than the downside to, say, gambling. There's less harm.
Oh, there are much worse addictions out there. But there's less harm done by paying to anything.
Well, yeah, okay. But also, the games industry itself is a bit too much of an enabler.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Do we want to see MMOs criminalised? Class B, well, MMORPGs?
I do, but I suspect most of our
We need to take responsibility.
When it comes down to it, we're adults.
But I would like to see game developers and studios and publishers be less cynically obvious about the enabling, the time sinkery of it all.
MMOs just need to admit that people go away more. And
I think we may see that with this sort of general dwindling of the monthly subscription.
APB, All Points Bulletin, have specifically said that they don't want people. They're designing it to be nice and easily playable and not the massive grind fest.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see companies. Yeah, that exact phrase. We don't want people to carry on playing if they don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, the game companies to be mature enough to let their players go. Make it easy to quit if the player wants to. Don't start piling on the pressure and, you know, doing all the evil psychological tricks.
And don't put lots and lots of gates or barriers of entry to different bits of content which are just there to make it take longer.
Have you played an MMO before?
Exactly. Time sinks. That's just a cynical ploy to get people to play.
Yeah. Or play precisely for at least one more, another 30-day billing cycle.
They're playing there to get to the content, not really necessarily because they're enjoying it.
Mm.
An awful lot of just killing 10 rats or standing in a field killing lots of stuff in Lotro or whatever, just to get a bit of XP.
The key thing to take away from it all is not how much you're playing or how involved you are. It's if you find yourself playing despite not enjoying it, that's when to step back and just have a word with yourself, you know? Yeah. So, there we go.
Okay, yes.
So, did you want to talk about our future plans for the topic show?
Yeah, we've decided we're bored of topic.
It's getting a little bit harder to come up with one each time. So, we're going to go back to basics, because I've always considered myself something of a field researcher rather than an academic when it comes to this old hobby of ours.
That's why you're dressed as Indiana Jones.
That's why I'm dressed as Indiana Jones most of the time.
I was wondering why you had the hat on.
Absolutely. You call this archaeology? Well, I don't. So we're going to be getting back to basics a bit, and we're going to just start doing some reviews. It's not quite the same as what we're playing. What we're playing will continue.
And it's not quite the same as just reviews. No. A bit more analysis.
Good, deep, involved looks at specific titles we think are worthy of interest. Yeah. And for good reasons or
MMOs
bad.
And non-MMOs.
MMOs, non-MMOs, and console,
looking to
PC.
See what games can teach us about other games.
It's a little bit topic-y.
What an MMO, say, could teach a normal game, or what a normal game could teach an MMO, or what a particular MMO does well, or whatever.
So look out for show 106, where we'll reveal our first findings, and we're not even going to tell you what game it is either, but we're both going to play the same game, and we're both going to have a good old long discussion about it.
It might even be two games.
Two games? Ooh, gosh. You are spoiling them.
I know.
With these Ferrero Rocher.
I am, yes.
All right, should we do the Twitter question?
We can do the Twitter question.
Right, I just want to restate again that I'm not a psychiatrist, and I don't want to be judging anyone here, but I did ask, how long do you spend on MMOs a week? Which is a useful survey statistic anyway, despite, you know, even though it turned out to be quite relevant with our topic as well this time. So I'm not calling anyone an addict here, but let's hit us with the
first of all, we have gaming addicts Teppotastic.
Oh god. Hello, my name's Teppo and I'm a gamer. This is an intervention, isn't it? A mass Twitter intervention.
This is a mass right, Matt, here we're go. Having an intervention for you. You're addicted to games.
Not just him. Go on then, what's his answer?
Right now, being unemployed and all, pretty much all day, every day.
Right. Ah, but there's the harm aspect there. I mean, obviously, he wants to be getting off his arse and finding a job, but as long as gaming is not specifically hampering that, if you know, he's not actually playing games instead of looking for jobs, that's not necessarily a problem.
The way we talk about Matt, it sounds really, really harsh if you don't know we know him.
he loves it.
Asgar says, gaming in general, don't do much more than MMOs, maybe 3 or 4 more hours a week.
Yeah, so that would be also as well as is Guild Wars Nights and Eve Night. So, yeah.
Debart says around 20. The bulk of that on the weekend.
Right, yeah. Seems like a reasonable average for a proper gamer.
I'll put about 20 in on the weekend, probably.
I'm trying to think. Keep reading them out. I'll try and think how many I play.
Broken Diet. I probably average around 30 hours, mostly in Eve, all depending what real life throws at me.
Yeah. So Mostly in E, 30 hours out. Well, Eve's quite an involved thing. You've got to put quite a few hours in to get anywhere with that.
Yeah. Sunk Zero says, in MMOs, about 15 hours. Gaming in general, another 3. If just video games, and many more if you include tabletop games.
Hmm.
Those damn social things. CM Gangrel says, far too much time here. Does ship spinning count, though? But yes, too much time in
ship spinning. I think he means sitting there docked,
yeah,
staring at the ship going, yes, round and round in Eve. Yeah,
just chatting and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's nothing wrong with that.
Oni911B says, too many. Even more, but I don't care. I'm a happy junkie.
Well, you know, if you're unrepentant and aware of the problem, go for it.
There is
ain't your mama.
There is nothing wrong with any addiction to death, as long as you don't harm anyone else doing it.
I'm not sure I entirely agree with that sentiment. But
right. Foxy Bimbo, this week, about 2 hours. I average between 2 to 3 hours these days. The sooner Tiny Troll has a PC, the better.
Ah, of course, recently a mother, so busy life, real, yep, life priorities cutting down on the gaming.
Then. Follows up with, this week, about 2 hours. No, sorry. Ooh, but general gaming, i.e. not MMOs, I get 3 to 4 hours in. Yay for sleeping trolls.
Yeah, so clearly a well-balanced sense of priorities there. You are not an addict. Well done.
Dot Chaos says, some days it's less than an hour, other days it's 15 hours plus. I guess on average, though, about 20 hours a week.
15 hours a day? Good grief.
Wow. Dr. Torag, 16 to 20 hours a week, which I may have to cut down. I think I'm being stalked by some radio personality.
Touché.
Checksum 92, yep. Guilty admission here. I've been on a break for quite some time, so 0.
Ah.
But hey, I still listen to podcasts.
So I think we got our lowest entry there so far.
Something wrong with him.
Is he allowed to listen to our show?
He's been doing productive stuff.
Not
on our
a
weekend.
Gamer. Good grief.
He's been doing youth group stuff as well, that, which really
taking
counts.
Taking a break,
on that.
Though, that can be good. I mean, I've been sort of, for one reason or another, various real-life engagements, I've been playing a lot less than I normally play this week, and recharged a bit of as a result.
Okay, so Jackson9's do showing us all up.
Yeah,
clean
Blue, living there.
Blue K, not as many as I'd like, more than I should.
All right.
Jackson92 again. Well, I did pop on for a couple of hours last week to do some Mass Effect 2 DLC.
There we go. Yeah. No one's totally clean.
Yeah, you see. that's one of the signs, isn't it?
It is.
You say one thing, but actually,
I remember. I totally
now
forgot
I think about
that.
It, I did drink those 20 pints.
I totally forgot about that 6-hour bender, yeah. that was the worst thing about my smoking, is I'd not realise I was actually smoking. You know, that's a good sign, I tell you, if you're looking for any sign of addictions. When you look back and don't remember the last cigarette, or don't remember the last pint, or the last go at World of Warcraft, or whatever, any of it.
Yeah.
When you just sort of, you know, you start doing it autonomically, that's when it starts to frighten you a bit, I think. Sorry, what did we get to?
SeanMC74.
Yeah.
I average around 20 to 30 hours a week. It would be more if my wife didn't expect me to hang out with her. You consider making her game?
Oh, don't brag her down too.
There must snow as much as I can, and it's still not enough.
No, right.
Will Troll, I average between 28 to 33 hours per week with around 70% on MMOs,
wow,
which I assume I did bring out a conversation with Foxy Bimbo afterwards, who doesn't have time to play because he's too busy looking after their kid.
3 hours versus 33 yeah, in a week. Uh-huh. And 70% MMO, and I'm pretty sure most of that is City of Heroes, yeah.
Beowulf Schaefer, probably at about 25 hours, although half of that I'm watching TV and autopiloting or something else passive.
Mm.
Eve player there.
Eve player, yeah. There's a lot of downtime in Eve, I think.
Jeff Ross, about 20 hours in Eve online, 8 hours in random MMO of the month, 2 hours in MMO Voices game of the week, 30 total.
Of course, yeah, MMO Voices, they hop about and try new games.
Another enabler.
Yes. Peddling their filthy wares.
Yes. The evil turkeys.
Uh-huh.
Don't mean that. Kootsnik 2000, 2 to 5 hours, depending on how busy your weekend is.
So that's quite low. Yeah, good solid. Well, yeah, basically, I think that's only a DDO as well. He's one of our DDO regulars and experts. So.
Same as Grobo. Do I need to tell? How about
no,
less,
not really.
How about less than the amount of sleep I get a night, save on weekends when anything goes?
That's pretty much my attitude as well. Yeah.
Zona 21, in MMOs, does the maths. Oh my, about 20 hours a week in MMOs, plus about 10 in non-MMOs.
Mm.
Add job and social life. Just figured out what I miss out on to keep that schedule up. sleep.
Oh. Sleep's great. I couldn't give up much more of
PB 89552.
Yep.
Far too many games, probably around 30 in Locho, maybe 5 or 6 in other games.
Right.
Geddens says, depends on work and how willing the girlfriend is to let me play. Can be as little as 10, right up to how as many as I can get in.
Mm. All right.
That's commentary.
Some unrelated stuff there.
Ackley says, depends if I'm working or not. I work shifts and the load is pretty high.
Mm.
On shift, 10 hours a week. Off, 20, I think.
Fair enough.
Jason Etheridge, being semi-retired, I seem to be spending 50 to 60 hours a week playing WoW. Dear God, be careful what you wish for.
Whew, I think we have a winner.
We definitely have a winner.
Gosh, 50 or 60 hours a week. Well, yeah, retired though, I suppose.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Notrist says, too many. I've been neglecting some of my other enjoyable pastimes recently. Time to find some balance, methinks.
Balance. That's a good word. Yeah. Like that. Yeah.
Duncan Feldane says, MMOs, 10. Other games, 1, unless you count chess as a video game. If so, then 5.
I don't know. Is it on a computer or on a wooden board?
It counts as gaming.
Gaming. There's nothing wrong with chess.
Was it Jonathan NZ? MMO playtime. As a student, 30 hours. Gainfully employed, 10 to 15 hours. Unemployed, 50 hours. None now that I've moved to New Zealand. No PC.
Oh, well, that's one way to to cut down on your gaming. Get rid of every console.
I need to get away from all distractions. I shall go to New Zealand.
He's gone to New Zealand to live a life as a rustic hermit type.
Hobbit.
Hobbits. Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, clearly your life circumstances will dictate how much spare time you've got. Or hopefully, I mean, if it ever gets to the point where it's the other way around, if your gaming time is dictating your life circumstances, yep, then that's the problem.
Random Gamer X says 30 to 40 in MMOs and another 10 to 20 in other games, depending on what type of shift work I'm doing.
Lots of talking about Mesmer overpowers.
This is where it all gets confusing because we're recording this later in the week. And...
did we get everyone?
I think we might have got everyone.
Right.
Yeah, I think we got everyone.
Okay, so my own result, I think it's got to be... oh, God, I don't know. Right, let's work it out then. So, get 8 through till 12 of pretty much every night except Thursday. That's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, so it's 4 hours times 4, which is 16 plus about... yeah, I think I'm probably 20, 25, something like that.
It depends greatly on what games are released that week for me. Mm. Some weeks I will put in.
But I mean, I commute a fair distance for work, so that cuts into my gaming time a bit. And actually, no, I tend to play a bit more. No, it's probably nearer 35 or 40. Yeah.
I can.
But then again, I almost never watch telly. I just don't sit there and watch telly, and I don't follow any TV shows much. Apart from Saturdays when I visit my mum and we watch ITV, which is where most of my TV horror stories come from.
Okay, on a bad night for me, it's 4 hours a night,
mm-hmm,
but on a good night, it'll be none.
Ah, right.
And on weekends, I sometimes will play a couple of hours and sometimes I can play solidly. I have played solidly before.
Well, I think... to sum up, I think you're only really an addict if someone is being hurt by your gaming, including yourselves.
And so, we don't all have to cure cancer.
And we don't all have to cure cancer. Someone else can do it. It's all right.
I may not actually have the skills to do it.
Well, that's it. I don't know anything about biochemistry anyway.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't gaming, I still couldn't cure cancer. Damn it. So, and with on that sombre note, what did you learn this week?
I learnt that I played too much computer games.
I learnt that the Flight of the Conchords are excellent live. And with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.